Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Today we know is Memorial Weekend, where a lot of time we're spent grilling some delicious hamburgers, hot dogs, and chips. But we as a church just wanted to take a few moments and remember why we have that freedom. And Memorial Day is for us to remember and to honor those who have given their life to the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be in a church today, not facing the kind of persecution that other Christians face around the world, but we can do that in freedom because we have troops that were willing to say, I'm going to give my life to protect our country. And so I'm just going to take about 30 seconds and just allow us to have a moment of silence just to remember that. And then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump right into the message today and just ask God to bless our time. So let's bow our heads and have the moment. God, we come before you today with thankful hearts, with so much gratitude that you have placed us in this particular time. And that we are coming to you today and asking, God, that you would comfort those who have lost loved ones, ones who have given that ultimate sacrifice, God. And I just pray that you would be with their families. On days like today, when they may be reminded, I pray that you comfort them. I pray that you surround them just with a great cloud of witnesses that are there to walk with them, God. And I pray that they feel your presence more than ever, God. I pray that that will draw them near to you. God, and I pray that as we get ready to open up your word, open up your truth this morning, I pray that you will speak through me, that I will decrease so that you may increase, that we remember how much you loved us, God. And I pray that we will lay everything on the line. And I know that we have so much going on in our lives. And as a holiday weekend, maybe some of us are traveling. God, I pray that we can just take the next few moments and focus on you, focus on your word and your truth and what it has for us, God. We love you and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We are so honored that you would be with us here this morning on Memorial Weekend. And today I have the amazing privilege. We call it in preacher world a standalone message. Usually we have a series packaged that God has placed on our heart. But every once in a while we leave the calendar open and say, hey, we got a standalone. And we just spend that time in prayer and say, God, what do you want me to speak on? And so today I have that message. And I'm going to throw quite a bit of scripture. Is that okay? Just throw quite a bit of scripture, because I believe that all authority and power is in the scriptures. This doesn't come from Daniel Cazenave, but it comes from God inside of me. And so we believe we're going to be in Matthew 22, if you have your Bibles or phones. If not, we're going to put it on the screens for you as well. No big deal. We are there for you. And then 1 Corinthians 13 and also John chapter 13. I told you we're going to skip around a little bit. My name is Daniel Cazenave. I'm the lead pastor here at the Bridge Church, and we hope that you feel welcome. We hope that it feels like family, because that's our heartbeat, is community first, and we want to help connect you to Jesus. And I love coming every Sunday and getting my hugs and high fives and handshakes and smiling faces, and especially from all the kids back there. And so it's really cool for God to see it. Wasn't worship good this morning? Like, wasn't that good? Can we just give it up one quick time? Like, I love it. I was getting sometimes God just comes over me and I get chill bumps and I don't want to dance around, but I hold myself back for you guys, okay? I hold myself back. But I want to talk about today from the topic, it's complicated. It's complicated. I don't know, have you ever thought that before? Have you ever thought in your mind, you know what? It's complicated. I don't know if you've walked into work or come home from work and they're like, your spouse says, hey, how was today? And you just kind of throw your hands up like, it's complicated, okay? Like, this is going down right now. I remember when Facebook first started coming out. It had this relationship status that you could actually put that said what? It's complicated. I do not recommend that you put that about your relationship on Facebook. I'm like, you know they can read that, right? But that all these different ideas and concepts, because sometimes, though, honestly, life can be complicated. Things can happen. And if you're not in a complicated season right now, it's incredible. But you know that you've been in one. Or maybe you may go into one in seasons of life. But when it is complicated, I don't know about you, but it's almost like our minds can even be clouded. And we could wonder, say, well, what step do I need to take? And if you think about even transitions of life, I know we have some young people that come. Maybe you're in a transition, a season of life where you're praying or you're asking God or you're asking all the advice you can say and say, hey, what step do I take next? Where do I go from here? What does this look like? Or maybe you're in a job and you're saying, hey, I know this is not where I'm supposed to be, but what is my next step? What should I do? Or maybe you've been coming to church for a while. And you're asking God, what is my next step in my faith with you? What direction should I take? Or maybe you're just checking this Jesus thing out and you saw some signs and some people that would connect with you. And you said, hey, I'll come to church, but I'm just learning about this Jesus thing. And I believe this is an incredible week to sit in and really lean in and really listen to what God has for us and His Word has for us. And so as we look back, Jesus understands this about your life, understands this about my life. And in fact, He knows that things can get complicated because when Jesus came, He left heaven. Came to earth and walked this earth. And as He got older and started into His ministry, you see the Old Testament was full of these people called Pharisees and Sadducees. If you want to remember that, sad, you see. Okay, so that's how some people say it. But Pharisees and Sadducees, these were the religious leaders. They would have been the pastors or the people who were over the church. And in the Old Testament, if you read it, there's over 600 laws that God asked His people to follow. That's kind of crazy, right? 600 laws. And then these religious leaders would find these laws and go, you know what? I'm going to break these down because they thought maybe it would be easier for you. For instance, don't work on the Sabbath. And so people would come and say, well, what constitutes work? Does it cut my grass? Is it doing this? Is it doing that? And they took that and subset all these things. Hey, this is what actually work is. You can't pick up your mat. You can't do all these different things that they created a list. And so they not only took that over 600 laws, but they broke them down into subset laws and made following God incredibly complicated. And I can imagine going through those times, if you get a chance to read through Leviticus, it just kind of blows our mind and makes us thankful for Jesus. But if we look back at all those laws and we think, man, it is just complicated. And so Jesus realized, and He started having conversations. And I don't know about you, have you ever had a conversation with somebody and it seems like they're always trying to trap you? You know, like one of my pet peeves is when somebody asks a load of questions, you know, like, you know, they're going somewhere, but they start like way over here and you're like, okay, just come out and say it, right? But these guys, these Pharisees were coming to Jesus and they started asking these questions because they're trying to trap Him. They did not believe that Jesus was God. They did not believe that He was sent from God and that He is the Messiah. And in fact, they wanted to eliminate Him. They wanted to kill Him. They wanted to remove Him because now He was creating this huge, massive following. And so they come to Jesus and they're saying, hey, you're turning everything upside down. Like, what is going on right now? And so they came to Jesus and started asking all these questions about marriage and, oh, hey, you've been married this many times and then you go to heaven. Who are you really married to? Like all these different questions that they go into. And then we get down to Matthew chapter 22. And so they can't stump Jesus. In fact, they become astonished. It blows my mind that it's like, He's God. He wrote this. Of course He knows this. But they're astonished at His answers. And then in Matthew chapter 22, the Pharisees go back. They're like, we got Him now. We're going to trap Him. In fact, we're going to get an expert in the law, the top of the top, an academic superstar. We're going to bring Him in, and they're going to have a debate. In fact, in Jewish culture, it was customary for people to come together and debate like this. And so they find this guy. They say, hey, he is the top dog. He is the one. He's going to stump Jesus. He's going to confuse. We're going to debunk all of this right here, right now. And He comes to Jesus. And this is what we get to lean in and listen to this conversation in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. You guys still with me? Very good. I like to ask a lot of questions, you know, just feel connected. Verse 34, it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And if you read it in the Old Testament, some spots it says, in all your strength. Then verse 38 says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. They come to Jesus and they're saying, hey, we got him now. Out of all those over 600 something laws, like we're going to stump him. Which one's the greatest, Jesus? Come on. And Jesus didn't even hesitate. He goes, oh, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All those hundreds and hundreds of laws and everything you're looking at, you can hang everything on these two commandments. Jesus is saying, look, you have come and you have surely made it complicated. And Jesus is saying, hey, I have come to fulfill all of those laws and redirect your hearts to the main thing for you to understand and remember what is important. He is saying, hey, I don't want it to be complicated for you. In fact, I'm going to come and show you the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he gets here in Matthew chapter 22 and he says, hey, all those laws, what I want you to focus on, what I want you to fix your gaze, your life, and everything on are these two commandments and everything else. He didn't say I'm eliminating them. He said everything else will hang on these two commandments. And he's saying these two will guide and direct your life. If you don't allow it to feel weighty and saying, oh, what do I do? What is my next step? God is saying, I want you to start right here. I want you to start right here. I remember in my life when I was in college, I went to college to play football, and I only played a year, and I was like, well, I'm not going to the NFL, so I need to start making some money, right? And I jumped into this particular place. It has a really awesome name, Sit and Sleep. Guess what they sold? Chairs and mattresses, okay? Pretty tricky, eh? And so, Sit and Sleep, I went in. It was a mom and pop shop, but honestly, I had so much growth that happened there, and so I would work full-time, go to school full-time, and working with them, and eventually, I was delivering furniture and then selling furniture, but in slow times, I would read books, and this is when God, if you know my testimony, this is when God was really shaking me up. God was really stirring my heart, because I had completely turned from God. I was running away from God. I hit college and I was like, God, who? And the bar what? And like all these different things. And God began to stir, and I call it shaking me. And the Holy Spirit was squeezing me and drawing me into Him. And I was wrestling with my life. And in fact, at this particular time, I had been working there about 5 years, and I'm getting into God's Word, and I'm reading in quiet times. And in fact, I'm now serving in youth ministry, and God placed it on my heart. I started my ministry in Youth Detention Center, and I was going there on Monday nights and Wednesday nights serving in youth, and just diving into the Scripture, and I was wrestling through my calling of going into full-time ministry. And I don't know if you've been in a crossroads, so to speak, in your life, when you just really don't know what to do. And in fact, just like the song says, sometimes fear can come in and go, I'm not adequate for this. I can't do this. Maybe as you walked in to get your first kid or walked into your marriage or walked into a new job, you just feel like, hey, it's getting a little bit complicated. God, can you just write it in the sky? Can you just tell me and just make it so clear what my steps should be? And I remember reading Scripture. And I was in Matthew chapter 22. And this moment radically changed my life. And I read this verse. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and He said, Daniel, you're making it so complicated. Right now, I want you to do this. Right now, I want you to give me all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. And anybody that comes close to you, I want you to love them. Anybody that comes close, I want you to start loving them the way that I have loved you. And I believe this is a huge revelation. It doesn't matter if we've been following God for 30 years or one moment, but there are seasons and moments in our life when things honestly can just get complicated. And I want us to remember to go back and say, God, what have you called us? How have you called us to live? And my prayer is that we always remember God's love for us. And Jesus is painting this picture, and He is saying, hey, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I think about that last one, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you've never experienced the love of God in your own life, it's going to be real hard to love your neighbor the way you have the right perspective to love yourself. And so I believe every single person has to start right there. And it has to start. I believe every single morning we got to remember how much God loves us. Remember who we are in Christ, because we can get torn down, worn out in life. And I believe most of our issues and problems in life, if we could trace it back and remember that I am, right, singing, I am a child of God. Remember what Christ has done for us on the cross, that it is done. It is finished. When I wake up in the morning and I put my little button-up shirt on, right, I'm looking in the mirror and go, Christ, it is done. Like, I am completely loved right now in this moment. I don't have to do another thing. I've already given my life to you, and I moved into sonship. I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? All of that is in me, and I am filled up with that before I even walk out of the house, right? And so now I get to walk out of the house knowing and remembering that truth. My heart is that you would maybe even think through one sentence or one thing to remember in your heart, one tagline. Write it on your mirror. Right now I'm trying to memorize 1 Corinthians 13. I got it taped right there because I'm thinking about love this year, and God is going, hey, I've given you a whole chapter on what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. And He's saying, hey, I'm here for you. And I think this is so huge and so vital, because love is the hinge pin. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13 at the bottom, we see Apostle Paul, and he writes, he says, you have faith, hope, but the greatest of these is love. And I look at that and I go, faith? And you're saying the greatest of these is love? And Paul goes even further here in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13, and he says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. And he's writing and he's saying, love is the hinge pin. It is the heart. It is the core of everything that we are. And we have to remember who we are in Christ. And so I would challenge you, if you've maybe been following Christ for a long time, you just step back and go, hey, I am a child of God. Maybe there's a verse and the enemy's been speaking some lie into your heart, into your mind. I am not enough. I was right there. I am enough in Christ. You right? You would go back and saying, hey, I'm the enemy. I feel like he's attacking me. I feel like a horrible mom. And you go back and saying, no, Christ, it is done. Jesus has filled me with his love. And my job, I read this quote right here. You guys ready? I read this quote, and it is a powerful quote. It says, don't judge the success of the day by the harvest you reap, but by the number of seeds that you sow. Don't judge the success of the day by the harvest that you reap, but the number of seeds that you sow. I believe that's life-changing. Because if you're like me, I have an achiever's personality. I'm ready for the next thing to check off the list, the next thing to accomplish, and I want to see results, and I want to see them 2 days ago, right? But God is saying, hey, you can't change anybody. The Holy Spirit's job is to change, is to allow His grace to move. Your job is to sow those seeds, is to be a river, not a lake, of God's love to pour into you. And you open your life and open your heart and allow that love to fill you up, and then say, here, this is yours. Here, this is yours. Here, this is yours. God, you've blessed me with this moment, this season financially. Boom, I get to bless somebody else now. Hey, God, you've blessed me with this margin in my life of time. Boom, now I get to bless somebody and spend time with them. God, you've blessed me with this gift, right? Like, I can't sing like Russell, but still, like, get blessed that gift you take, and you just let that flow out of you, right? And saying, God, it's all yours. I'm yours, and it doesn't come from us. And I believe the weight is then removed. My prayer coming into this message is that you would be refreshed walking out of here today, because you've taken the load of life, the load of the work, the finished work of the cross off our shoulders. And because we look at our lives and God is saying, hey, I want you to be filled up by my love. And then I want you to love your neighbor the same way. Just look at how I loved you, and I want you to love them that way. And in fact, I think this is so imperative for Christians, that as once we are called to be Christ followers, that loving our neighbor is so big, so important, that we see this in John chapter 13. Verse 34, this is Jesus speaking, and he's saying, hey, a new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's so profound to think that out of everything that the outside world could look to, Jesus is saying, hey, you want to know how they will know that you're a Christian? You want to know how they know that you are a Christ follower, that you've given your life to Jesus? You want to know how they know that? It's by how you love one another. Is they can step back. He didn't say, hey, how much scripture you can memorize, or how many church services you go to, or all these different things. He says, no. The way I can tell is that how you love one another, and how the world will see, how the world will know, is how we love one another. And God is saying, I want you to step back. And wherever you are, there's these three little words I'd love for you to write down, or just take the memory note that I heard a while back. And I believe they're powerful words to help direct us into reevaluating and think about our life, but where we live, work, and play. Live, work, and play. And you think about, where do I live? In my neighborhood, my neighbors, where do I work and where do I play? Whatever hobbies I have, maybe it's going to play basketball on the weekends, or playing softball some nights, or I go to the gym, or I'm in a mom's book club, or whatever it may look like, where I live, where I work and I play, where do I come in contact with people? And I love the idea as we look back, and sometimes we can make it complicated, right? Like, ooh, I got my track ready. I'm gonna share this verse with them. I'm gonna share the gospel with them, which I honestly hope that you do. But I believe sometimes we got to step back and go, hey, I didn't catch your name. What's your name? My name's Daniel. Oh, your name's... And go back, and it's going back to the beginning. And I believe that's even so powerful, to look back and go, hey, if you need anything, let me know. Oftentimes, God brings opportunity in the face of problems. And when we're around, wherever we live, work, and play, and somebody goes, hey, this is going on, I'm struggling with this, boom, our ears get to perk up and go, ooh, hey, when I went through that, this is how Christ loved me. Hey, when I went through that, this is what somebody at my church did for me. This was somebody who loved me. And now I want to show you that same kind of love. I want you to experience this kind of love, because I believe that we can get in a moment and a mindset where we can look at people and go, okay, I feel the weight. I want to love them. I want to be a good Christian. I want to follow Christ. And sometimes people can feel like projects. And we can go, oh, I want to change, I want to move their hearts. And God is going, look, what I want you to take that responsibility off. I want you to love them. Sow the seed. Begin with prayer. Sow the seed of love. Be there for them. Get to know them, their hurts, their dreams, their struggles, all of that. And be there to walk with them each and every step of the way, and show them the love that God has shown you. And to walk with them through this thing called life. Because I believe this, that God says that our deepest motive is love. We are motivated by Christ's love for us. We are motivated to love others because He first loved us. He filled us up. He died on the cross for us. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. And that motivates us to go, you know what? I want others to experience this kind of love. And every once in a while, I feel like sometimes God will remind me where I came from, that who I was before Christ. And I can honestly tell you, there are moments in my past where I don't even know if I should be alive because some of the bad decisions that I made. And Jesus was saying, He kept whispering. He kept placing people around me and saying, hey, Daniel, I love you. Come home, Daniel. I'm here for you. I have a better plan and a purpose for your life. I can change you from the inside out. I can take everything that is complicated and one step at a time. We'll put one step in front of you, and you take that faith step, I'll give you another faith step. If you will trust me, start where you are. Love where you are, and God will begin to transform our hearts. And I believe we have to start in that moment. Remember that our deepest motive is love, but our highest hope is faith. Our highest hope is that God will intervene and they will choose to have faith in Christ, and we will believe that God will water those seeds and we'll see lives transformed for the gospel, and we'll understand what God is doing inside of our lives. And so I just want to close with this. I was challenged with this question. And we can take it as we will. Challenged by this question, I said, if we took, hey, I'm going to church this Sunday, if we took that out of the equation and out of our conversation, what would people look at our lives and go, yes, that's a Christ follower? If we took the neighbor seeing us coming to church or saying, hey, I go to church, if we took that out of the equation and filled up every other space in our life, would people look at our life and go, yeah, they're a Christ follower. Yes, they're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I believe that our mission statement is to connecting people to Jesus daily. And we want to see God moving on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, seeing us praying for our neighbors, being there everywhere we work, live, and play, and intersecting with each individual's lives. And I believe God can take those seeds and do incredible things. And we will honestly, I don't believe in this is small little piece or this small vision for your life. I honestly believe that God can take the people that are in this room and we can see a revival break out and in Bluffton and all throughout the Low Country if you and I will look at this and go, okay, I'm starting back fresh. I'm starting back from the beginning. God, I know how much you love me. I am a child of God. I am a royal priest. I'm a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. God, you have saved me. You have changed me. You have redeemed me. I am a new creation in Christ. I am enough in you. I can walk confidently in your love and in your grace, and I'm filled by that. And we start with that, and then we walk into work, right? And also, like, our swagger changes a little bit, and it's like, hey, I'm a holy nation in Christ, not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is. And it changes how we walk. And then we can sit next to our coworker. And they're going through a storm. They're going through a tragedy. And we can sit next to them and go, I know this is so hard, but I just want you to know God loves you in this mess. God is here for you. And it may not feel like it right now. And I want you to know I'm here for you. And let's walk through this thing together. And that everybody we come in contact with, God takes it. And he does what only God can do. And I believe there's a principle for us that whatever God gives us, if we'll release it and allow God to work it through us, God will do what only he can do, and that we will see a miracle happen when he starts to connect people and he starts to move in lives and transforms lives, and we see a movement start to happen in the Low Country because we walk outside of these doors knowing who we are in Christ and going, you know what? It's not complicated for me. I'm walking out. Jesus loves me. I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself. Ooh, I can't wait. I wish somebody would talk to me this week, right? Like, I can't wait to go to work today. I can't wait. Ooh, I hope my neighbor's outside when I get home, like pulling in, right? Like, hey, how you doing? My name is Daniel. If you need anything, let me know. Your neighbor's probably like, what got into him, right? Like, what got into her? Like, what is she? That's crazy. Oh, okay. I heard one pastor, he went and made a list of everything in his garage, all of his tools, all of his lawn equipment, and he took that list and he took it to his neighbors and said, hey, if you ever need anything, this is what I got. This is what I got. I'm sure his neighbors were like, oh, wow, okay, that's kind of crazy, but that's kind of awesome, right? Like, he's saying, hey, whatever's mine is yours. We're in this thing together. And I believe communities start to transform when we as individuals go, you know what, God, you were so good to me. I can praise you in the storm because God is always good, right? I can always point to his promises and to his truth, and I can praise God in those moments, and I can walk into my neighborhood, and it can be the darkest place on the planet, right? The most fearful place on the planet, but you walk in with the light of Christ, right? Well, you and I get to march right into those places with the love of Christ, and God can use you to start a movement for Christ, and I believe it with every ounce of my being. My prayer is that you would believe that. It's that you would walk out of this place going, you know what? I haven't felt God's love in a long time. And I don't want you to leave this place thinking that. believe in that. And I'm going to get ready to close here in a few minutes. And we're going to sing one last song, and it's called "It Is Done." Because what I want us to realize and understand that it is finished. The work of Jesus is finished when you and I accept the free gift of grace that God has placed on the table. All we have to do is believe in Him. God is saying, hey, I can't do it on my own. I am separated. I am sinful. And God, if I believe that You have paid the price for me, the Bible has said that for the wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, hey, it is finished. I've paid that price for you. Daniel, I've paid that price for you too. And Jesus, You showed us You had power in the resurrection over sin and over death. And You showed us who You are, Jesus. And you know that walking out of here today, that you are filled by the loving grace of a good, good Father. And you know, I know sometimes it's hard because maybe you've never experienced the love of a good Father. Maybe it wasn't passed down from you in that line, but you could step back and you know, you can look to God's Word and look to His truth and allow that to stop now. Because, hey, God, I give that to You, that hurt, that struggle, that pain. And God, I'm praying that You will heal that in me. I'm praying that You will replace that in me. I'm praying that You will rise that up and for me to understand who I am in You. And I just, God blessed us. We have three boys and then a little girl. And my prayer is that as that little girl gets older, and I hope that every woman in this place understands that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in Christ. And God has the Holy Spirit inside of you. And everything you need is in the Holy Spirit. Everything you need is in Christ. You just keep sowing that seed. You keep loving. You keep being there and going back to God and getting filled up by Him, because He will show you the way. And God is saying, don't let it be complicated. Let's come to Him and allow Him to fill us up. And so I want to pray for us today, and maybe for you. I think about this story, and I think about Jesus' teaching, and He says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. But if we look, love is a fruit of the Spirit. And that without the Spirit, we can experience true love. And sometimes for us, maybe we think about something and saying, oh, I'm going to manifest some love today, right? Like I'm going to, I'm going to make this happen today. And God is going, you know what? Yield to Me. Surrender to Me and I will show you the way. Because the work is done. Amen. Allow your heart to be open to how much He is there for you, His truth as it guides you. And then take that truth and let it flow through you to the people that you live, work, and play with. Wherever we go, we take that life-changing truth of the gospel. And so my heart for you is if maybe you've never started a relationship with Christ, and you're saying, Daniel, that sounds great, but I don't understand God's love. I've never received God's love. And my prayer is that you wouldn't leave this place today wondering what that is like. That we will pray with you today. And God's Word says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You move into sonship and daughtership. And that can happen today. Salvation is still moving today. God is still alive, and He is still changing hearts, and He can do that today. And my prayer is that you would surrender to Him, yield to His love, allow Him to flow through your life, and you can experience what God can do in your life when we don't let it be complicated. We just come to the feet of Jesus. So let's pray together. And maybe you want to pray and ask God to save you today, that you receive His love today. We're going to pray together. Maybe you want to pray out loud, pray in your heart of what God is doing. This prayer doesn't save you. It's the power of Jesus and His grace that saves you. Just pray something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I don't know You. I know I have sin in my life, God, and I believe that you are God. I pray that you will save me, change me, God, and guide me each and every step of the way. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. Because there's next steps that you can take, and we're a family here. We want to help you take those next steps. Or maybe you want to leave this place. We have a connect card in your worship guide. You can fill that out. Check, I chose to follow Jesus today. I'm going to pray for the rest of us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you as a church. This Memorial Weekend, God, I pray that we can come today, remember who we are in Christ. Remember the price that you paid for our freedom. Jesus, may we be filled all the way to the brim of your love, your grace, your hope, God. God, and I pray that if somebody came in today and they're just carrying the load of life, I pray they can take these next few moments and give that to you. Confess that to you, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will do, God, what you do best, and that is give rest, and that it gives hope, God, and give direction. God, we surrender to your will and guide us each and every step of the way. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.